Hello, beautiful queens, and join me as we open up conversations that help women walk through difficult transitions and inner healing while unleashing the potential that God has placed within all of us to become untamed and unchained. In each episode, you'll get the tools and resources to create the change in your life that you desire as you unleash your vision, your gifts, and your voice and your confidence to live the life of your dreams. I give my listeners and clients love and support. However, I do take the direct approach and we cut out that BS in your life. So instead of playing small, you can create big leaps into your life. Now let's dive into this episode. I am so excited for you guys to meet Dee today. We literally just connected on Instagram the other day and he is apparently a man of action because he scheduled the interview and here we are. Full confession, I don't fully know where our conversation is going, but you guys already know on this podcast, we go all over the place. I'm so excited. So Dee, could you please introduce yourself and just share with the world what it is that you do and who you are?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I guess like the short version is like I'm an entrepreneur, digital nomad. We were just talking, I'm currently in Albania, but we were living outside of the US since 2021, lived in Mexico, Colombia, we were in Hungary, Istanbul, London, all over the place. And then now I'm doing my company called Undeterred, which I'm sure we'll get to in a little bit. But yeah, I just, you're from Ohio?
Or
you,
yes, you live in Ohio? Where you're from? I currently live in Ohio, but it's not where I want to stay.
Okay. I'm originally from Indiana. So right there. And I just got tired of people saying like, just know what your life is going to be and what it's limited to. And I was just like, I want to see what life would be like if I dreamed bigger and actually took action on it. And here we are.
Okay. You just threw like a major curveball into the story right off the bat. Like you put on the case swinging wildfire, because that is one of the biggest reasons that I don't like living in Ohio. Is, and I just had this conversation earlier this morning, was the small-mindedness, you know, of like being told what you can do and what you can't do. And I know they say, you know, it's mindset, but I'm like, yeah, it is mindset, but it's also in the region that you're living in, it's the areas that you're living in. And if you're not, like, there's, God created such a beautiful earth. Like we have so much to explore and so much to expand, but that was also like a really big leap of faith for you to go and be like, okay, I'm done with this.
Oh,
and
so. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit of like behind the scenes of what that was, your experience to like, because obviously it sounds great to be like, I'm going to pick, you know, I'm going to pack my bags and move. But like, what really was the journey kind of like, if you could give us a clip of that?
Yeah. So the thing that opened my mind up to traveling is in 2018, we went to the Bahamas. Me, my girlfriend, my wife at the time, or my wife now, my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, and our daughter, she was on like a dance competition or something. So we went on a cruise to the Bahamas. So I was like, being from Indiana, and then we were living in Florida, I'm like, wow, this is so cool to see like other cultures. I had lived basically in Indiana until I was 24, 25, something like that. So I'm like, man, this would be really cool to start going on trips more. So I started looking into it online and I'm like, man, it's actually not that expensive. It's just most people don't even look into it because they think it's too hard. So they don't even do the research. So I'm like, man, we could go to Italy. We could go to London. We could go to Paris, like all these different types of things. So as I'm seeing Paris, I'm like, man, it'd be really cool if I could, if we're going to go to Paris, I want to propose. But at the time, I didn't have any money. I didn't have a ring. She didn't have a passport. We had never been overseas before. And it was just like all these challenges. And it just felt like, man, I'm never going to be able to do this. And I just started thinking like, I don't want to live my life like that. I just got tired of that. I'm like, there's a lot of Christians that I know that they go to church and they get all emotional and they raise their hands and God can do anything. But then they go to work, they come home, they eat dinner, they go to sleep, they go to work, they come home, they eat dinner. And I'm like, bro, that's not faith. There's nothing.
Oh, everyone in the world. Hooray!
So I'm like, I want to see what life would look like if I just really trusted like God. Like if I had big dreams, I committed to it. And I just want to see what happened. So I bought a notebook and I was like, my only promise to myself is I'm not going to give up. I'm going to give myself a certain amount of days. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to commit to not giving up no matter what happens. And I'm going to see, and I'm just going to see. I thought it was going to be easy. I thought I was going to go to the bank the next day, ask for a loan. They were going to give me the money. I was going to buy the ring, buy the plane ticket, buy the Airbnb. And then I went to the bank and like, we're not giving you money for that. That's not like a business plan or anything. You just want to do something cool. So I'm like, man, I got to figure this out. And it's like one of the hardest things I had done at the time. And there's so many times I wanted to give up. My family was like, why don't you just go to a restaurant like normal people? Why do you got to go over there? And I was like, I can't find someone that's like, hey, I wanted to achieve something big. It was hard. I stuck with it. And here's what happened. Other than the people that I saw on TV that I have like no contact with that can just say, I did it. You can do it too. But we don't know those people. So I stayed with that promise of not giving up. I had like an eviction letter. The guy's mom that I was supposed to get the ring from died and he had to go to like Brazil. So I didn't think I was going to end up getting the ring. And it's like, it didn't seem like it was going to happen. At the last minute, I remember there was like a couple days before we were going to leave. I checked the mail and like I got my, like the IRS had made like a mistake on my tax return or something and gave me like an extra $1,000. Like, hey, we messed. Like I was getting all this stuff at the very end, like the last couple of days. We ended up going, I proposed, we were in Paris for a week. And that showed me now looking back, like the power of being undeterred. That's when I realized like what it was. And that opened my mind up to traveling. So then for our honeymoon, we went to Italy, which is a whole other story. The next year we went to London, Barcelona, and back to Paris. So then as we're starting to travel, I'm like, I had my own social media agency. So I'm like, when I'm traveling, I'm still kind of like an employee to people. I still have to do their posts. I have to log into like all these different types of accounts. I'm still trying to grow my own business. And I was like, man, I would love to have something online. And it just gives me the chills. I was thinking about this today as I was like walking around in Albania. I'm like, I remember for like a whole year or two, I was watching travel vlogs and I thought it was impossible. I'm like, how the heck do people do this all the time? Like they have an online business, they're making money and they're traveling the world consistently. Like how the heck do they do this? So I made it a goal in 2020 that I wanted to make an online business that made 10K a month. And allowed me to travel just once every 3 months. I was like, if I could travel once every three quarters to like Mexico or Paris or something and go for like a week, that'd be amazing. That'd be awesome. COVID hit. I didn't know what I was doing. It was like so hard to do. And I just kept having this like a thought in my mind of like when I went to Paris of like, I didn't give up then and I was able to achieve it. And it basically changed like my life in so many ways. And I'm like, if I just stick with this, I think that would be the same. And by the end of 2020, not only were we making 10K a month, but we're at like 20, 30. And then in 2021, instead of just traveling once every 3 months, we were like, let's just sell all of our stuff and just travel full time. We're going to go to Mexico for a month to test it. And then after like a week, we were like, let's extend it for 2 months and then 3 months. And now it's almost 3.5 years later or something like that. Now we've just been traveling and traveling and traveling. So whenever we had this vision, and there's like many stories in all of this, but when we had this vision of like, man, we could just become, because at first we were going to go to Barbados. They had a digital nomad visa. So we're like, we'll just go to one of these countries that has a digital nomad visa. You can live there for a year. But as we started doing research, we're like, oh, people are digital nomads. And they just go to different places instead of trying to be a citizen of the place or get this permanent residency. So I found some places in Mexico and at the time, like my wife wasn't fully on board with it. And it was kind of like, maybe we should wait until COVID and then maybe we should wait until this. And I'm like, oh man, that's everyone that I know that's older than me. That's all they said is like, it's all of these I wishes and they're waiting. And then it becomes like, let's wait till COVID. Let's wait till our daughter's this age. Well, we waited until this long. Let's wait till this. And then you're 70 years old and you never did any of the stuff that you said you wanted to do because you just kept waiting for the perfect time. So I said, if we don't go now, we're never going to go and we're going to regret it, but we can always go now and just come back. So let's just go. And we went, we ended up loving it. And we've just been traveling like ever since. It's funny because my dream was to travel once every 3 months. And I think in the past 3 years, I've only been in the US like 3 months, like all the total time. So it's like the complete opposite of what it was going to be.
God being extra, you know, you ask for. What an incredible and impactful story that is. You know, And how often does that happen? When we're just, we're like, I don't know, like you're almost at the end, you're ready to throw your hands up in the air. And then it comes, it's like, God, you really got to test my faith like this much. Cause you know, but it's so good for us because it opens up like a whole new version of ourselves. Like we need to go through that growth. And just the fact that you didn't lose that vision, the fact that you kept going regardless. And I know what that's like when you're surrounded by people, like you said, wait, like just wait. And, you know, tomorrow, like we say, tomorrow never comes. And so tell us about like your business, like what you started and what is it all about? Like we want to know, because obviously you traveled and then you found your home and you, in the meantime, you didn't only, you were not only just traveling, like, number one, I just want to like honor you for the fact that to propose in Paris, that's like, wow. And then to also lead, because that's something that we'll probably discuss a little bit later, because I find men are struggling with that a little bit. And that was partially why I also wanted to bring more men on my podcast, is just being that leader in the family in today's world, you know, as a Christian. So I kind of went off on a tangent. Coming back to you, tell us what your business is.
Which direction do I go in with the answer?
No, I don't know. I think we're going to off-road on this episode.
That's the best kind.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, if you want to share your heart and your business and like what it is that you, what really made you decide, okay, this is what I want to do. And what is it like, what is it all about?
Yeah. So basically 2016 to 2020, I was helping in person, like brick and mortar businesses with social media. So I would like go take their Instagram photos, run their Instagram account, do all their content. A lot of it was video content. So I would tell them, here's what to say. Here's how to be on camera. I'll edit the videos. I'll post. When I wanted to create an online business, I was like, I'll just teach people how to do it. That way I don't have to do it. So I'll show them, hey, here's step by step what to do. So I was in this coaching program, and one of the things they said to do was to join Facebook groups that had your target audience on it and just share tips. So I was just looking for social media everything. When I joined this Facebook group called like Social Media Managers for Churches, it's funny because they kicked me out of this group, which I'll talk about here in a second. But so I was looking through this group and I'm like, all this information here is just trash. Like all the churches post like it's a bulletin board at like a restaurant. It's like, don't forget church on Monday. Don't forget about a life group. Don't forget about this. I'm like, you guys don't add any value like at all. That's what I'm thinking. So I was like in bed one day, I was looking in this group and I don't know, something told me to just do like a live video. So I just went live and I was like, man, I see a lot of you guys posting the same stuff and you're saying it's not working. If it was me, what I would do is look at what's already working, like just content hack them. So if you look at Stephen Furtick, if you look at Rich Wilkerson, if you look at Michael Todd, all these pastors that you guys look up to, what are they posting? And why wouldn't you just post the type of stuff that they're posting? In my mind, like that just didn't make sense. Like if you want to be good on Instagram, find who's doing what you're doing and just check out what it is that they're doing. I'm like, what they do is they take their sermons and they record the whole thing and then they break it up into clips. And then you can just create all your content from that. So that video in a short amount of time, like minutes or an hour or something like that, had like thousands of views and like all these comments and all these pastors reaching out to me asking how they could pay me to run their social media, but I wasn't even planning on working with pastors. So I told my like business coach, I'm like, I have a kind of like a slight dilemma because I'm creating this offer for business owners, but now all these pastors want to work with me. And they're like, people try to get the reaction that you're getting unintentionally. So like they're working hard to get this type of reaction and you already have it. So it might be a sign that that's what you're supposed to do. So I was posting in that group, like adding value. And then some people just got upset because they're like, oh, like people are hitting him up and they're interested in his services. They just like kind of got jealous because they're like, all of my posts were the only posts that would get engagement. And then they're like, oh, no one sees my posts. And it's like, yeah, but like, why are you mad at me? Because I'm actually adding value in the group and your post isn't being seen. And yeah, I remember like I got a call actually from on Facebook Messenger from one of the people that ran the group and they couldn't really give me an answer. They're just like, yeah, there's a couple of people that are upset. And I'm like, can you tell? I just want to know what rules I'm breaking. And then they're like, oh no, like we can, like, it, like they wouldn't give me an answer. And I'm like, it's kind of frustrating because I feel like a lot of Christian groups and settings are like that. It's like, there's a lot of jealousy. Anyway, so I got kicked out of that group, and that's where I like the frustration kicked in, because I'm like, okay, I just switched to do what God is calling me to do. And I was getting a lot of my leads from this group, and like, now I can't even be in there. And it's like, now I got to start over. And it was just really tough. But we ended up creating social media made church social media made easy. So I was basically training their staff on how to create content. So they would pay for the program. I would work with a staff member or basically whoever. So it's like, you can just take the people that already go to your church and put them into our program. I'll train them, and then they can run your stuff. And I quickly got tired of that, because I felt like, not even I felt like, I experienced so much of like, these are the leaders in the church, and like 90% of them don't have any faith. They're not really acting out of integrity. And people always get upset when I say that, but I'm like, that's my experience though. Like, I'm talking literally to 10, 20 pastors every day for a year or two, compared to the two that you know. So I understand why you think everyone's not the same and people are people, but I'm like, I did this for like a year of just talking to people day after day after day after day. And I'm like, a lot of the time, it's a lot of fear and scarcity-based action, especially with the boards of like, oh, we can do this or we can't do that. And I'm like, there's a lot of focus on church buildings and not actual people, and a lot of money being spent on equipment. So that's a whole other rabbit hole. But so then I started working with like entrepreneurs. So I'm like, I'm just going to teach them how to use video content like I originally was. And now I have the proof that I know how to use video content to build a business, because I did it to grow our church social media business. So I was doing that. And as I was talking to people, they're like, man, a lot of the stuff that you talk about is really about just going, like creating content without letting anything hold you back. So it doesn't matter what you look like, what you sound like, whatever it takes, like just put it out there and be consistent. And like, I think what you're talking about can be applied to so many, it's a bigger audience, or not a bigger audience, a broader topic. And like, I think you're really limiting yourself by only talking about this thing. It was funny because it was on like a virtual summit, and the person that was leading it just stopped and started just, it's very weird, like just started talking to me directly. And then it was just like kind of snapped out of it. And she's like, God just told me to say that. I don't even know where that came from. So yeah, afterwards I went on a walk, and I feel like God was saying like, what do you want to be successful in? Like, pick one thing. And what is that one thing? And like, if I was to make you successful in something, what would that one thing be? And I was like, man, that's so true. Like, if I wrote a best-selling book, well, what's the one thing I would want it to be on? And I was like, I don't care about YouTube and video content that much. To be that is how people know me. And I was walking in Hungary, and I'm like, man, there's a lot of people here that just gave up on their dreams. Yeah, homeless, some homeless people. You have people that are just at these jobs that they don't really care about. You have your friends, family that just gave up. And I'm like, man, if I could teach them like how to pursue their dreams and achieve their dreams, how I've done, that would change their life. I'm like, at the time, people thought going to Paris was stupid and it was dumb, but it really taught me a really key lesson that has then changed the rest of my life, changed other people's lives, gave me story now to tell on like all the podcasts I go on. So now we have a membership called Undeterred, where we're basically helping other Christian entrepreneurs achieve their big, crazy dreams without letting anything hold them back. So they come on, they tell us what their dream is. We help them know what action steps to take, give them accountability, give them prayer and encouragement, send them voice messages, text messages, like connect them with other people pursuing their dreams. And I really just want to provide people with the support that I wish I had, because I did it, but it's like a long journey of just, I have to figure this out. And I'm like, man, if I could help them do it without them having to do it on their own, that would be so amazing. So
yeah, you spoke directly to my heart and such a huge pain point that I had for so long. When I started my journey, one of my biggest cries was, where is the church? Like, there is no faith happening in the church. Like, literally, you guys, exactly what you were saying. You guys go to church every Sunday and live your life the same and go back to church again. Like, God has more. And I felt so frustrated, and I felt so alone. And I was like, why is nobody saying this? Like, I feel like I'm going crazy, you know? Because it's like, everybody's just like living in their bubble. And it's like, and I'm like, I got myself on a plane and flew across the world to California and walked into a room of 1500 women. I didn't know a single soul, but I was like, I have to do something different or I'm going to lose my mind. Like, I'm not feeling fulfilled where I'm at. This goes, like, I can go to the connect groups. I can be in the church, like, but there's something bigger. There was like this burn that was happening on the inside of me. And I began to connect with people across the world because I couldn't find it in the church. I couldn't find it around here. And I like travel. So for, to hear you say that you're providing, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's such a God-given thing. Because I remember for the longest time, I was like, I just feel like an orphan. Like I'm alone in this world. Yep. And I wasn't, but I thank goodness for being able to virtually connect with people and travel, like you said as well. It's now like after all these years, people are finally starting to see, oh, I think she's on something other than quote unquote going crazy, you know, when you're living here, because you have the stories, you have the experiences to share. And yeah, it makes me sad that so many people are living with a dream that is written on their heart from God and they are not living in it. And what is, like, what are some of the things that you see, what is lacking that changes once they come into your group that really brings that out and actually has them step into?
That is a great question. Like whenever people see me like on a podcast or they meet me like in person, like for let's say like right now, it's like your first interaction. Like people are like, man, you're just really hype on the podcast, right? Or in the content. And then they realize like this is the same energy I have like every day for the past like 10 years, 15 years. And I think like part of that is like achieving the dreams. But the other part of that is like, I know what it feels like to really want to be out of your situation and not have any help, not have any support and not to be able to do anything. Like, for example, like wanting to go to Paris, right? Like you don't have the support you need, but you can figure it out. But when I was like a kid, like starting from 8 to 14, my mom got married, not to my dad. I've never met my dad before, but my mom had me. Then she had my sister. My sister has a different dad. And then my mom got married to who is now my brother's dad. And during that time period, it was a lot of like child abuse, it, like pulling out a knife, choking me, like beating me, throwing me around, all this stuff. So from age 8 to 14, 6, 5, 6, 7 years, almost every day, just wishing that you could be, you know, somewhere else and not knowing if you're going to, you know, survive to the next day, and just praying so often that like, man, God, if I could just have a different life or change or whatever. And then when I was 14, I fortunately was able, I moved out and lived with other family. And I think ever since then, I was just like, God kind of gave me a new opportunity and I'm not going to waste it. So like every day I've just been super thankful, like, and reminded of like, my life might not be perfect today, or I might be going through, so I could, might not be able to pay a bill or whatever it is, but I don't have to deal with that. That was like a terrible situation. There's nothing I could do. I didn't have any support. So I think that helped me build a super strong mindset at 8, because it's not even just the child abuse. It's like, you're never going to be anything. You're never going to be able to do anything. And I was just like, I'm not going to accept that. I don't know what made, I mean, God, obviously, but it's like at age 8, 9, I'm like, nah, that's not my reality. So now I think it's people need, it's like, I always just wish, just like, if I could just put my brain in someone's head, they would be good. Because I'm like, if you can just have that mindset of like, I don't care what anyone says, whatever happens, like I'm going to have faith, I'm going to trust. So I think a lot of people, they just need that. They need to start having that mindset shift, which it's hard to have. Like if you're, most people, like your parents don't have that mindset, and they're probably telling you to be safe, be secure, worry about paying your bills, worry about your safety. If you go to church, yes, they're praying and they're talking about amazing things, but you typically don't see anyone else doing anything that you aspire to do. They're doing very normal, basic stuff. And just like, it's hard to have friends and family. So it's like, we're typically not surrounded by people, what I would like to say, that are undeterred. We might read about it, we might watch a movie about it, but we don't have a conversation with someone that's like, hey, I know that this is your situation. I was in that situation. This is what I did. This is how to overcome it. And this is what I'm doing now. So I've noticed when people come in and they get that energy like every day, it's like it just changes their whole mindset. Because I'm not really, I'm not about the excuses, but I'm also not someone that's like a David Goggins that's like, just do it, anything you can do. And it's like a drill sergeant. I'm not like that, but I'm just like, hey, let's do it. Like whatever, like what's the challenge you're facing? Let's figure out how to get this done. There's always something we could do. There's always a way to overcome it. And I think that has shifted the mindset of the people that come in. So now you don't just have me, you have other people that are helping you. And I think it's really just like a mindset shift. You just have to, it's like the people that are in the ghetto or that are poor. It's the people that make it out, they just have a different mindset. And that mindset allows them to act differently and then to have faith. So I think a lot of it comes down to just like the way that they think, you know?
Yeah, that's a miracle to hear you. That got me in my feels when you were talking about like that, how you were thinking as a child, you know, of like getting out of there. And then once you got out of there, and you said something very key of being grateful. Like when we have a grateful heart, that's something that I've been very intentional about the last like year of my life of, you know, we hear having an attitude of gratitude. There's a difference between having it in your head and then actually having it in your heart. And I say once you truly begin to experience gratitude in your heart, that's when you begin to experience miracles, because you see the world differently. You see God in such a powerful, profound way. Even just in this conversation, there's miracles happening if you actually right. listen and pay attention. And for you to have that kind of faith, I would love to hear you talk a little bit about like your walk with God, because a lot of people, I feel at that point, there was like going through all of that, that's either going to make or break a person. And for you to have such a profound faith in that time of the darkness that you went through, what you've done with that, that's a huge inspiration to somebody that's listening of like, oh, he was there. And because, you know, a lot of times we see people, we're like, oh, yeah, sure. But there's a whole backstory.
Like with a kid, it wasn't really like this whole, like, if you talk to me when I was like 10 or 12, I couldn't give you like, hey, I'm doing this thing and this is the method and this is the way. And it wasn't really like a deep thing. It was more like, I'm watching movies about people overcoming things and becoming, making something with their life. I'm watching the athletes, I'm watching rappers, I'm listening to music. So I think it was that I was keeping my mind on like other people that were doing things and be like, they did it, I could do it. But then when I got older, then it's like, you have to do the thing. And so that's a whole nother thing. At this point, I'm just believing one thing, I can get into this position, but then I get in the position where you're doing it and you're like, okay, I'm pursuing it now, but now it's hard. So when I was trying to go to Paris, that's how I learned how to, like, that took my faith to the next level. Because in the beginning, I'm like, I can just work my way, you know, like it's not really, I do believe in God, but I think I can just hustle. I can go to the bank. I can sell stuff. I'll just work as hard as I can. And I got to the point where I'm like, I'm doing everything I know how to do and it's not working, but I don't want to give up. What else can I do? And I can't go to other people for advice because they're just going to tell me to quit. So I'm like, all right, at this point, I really have to tap into my faith. And this is when I started really connecting with God. I don't remember what made me do it, but I just like one day I just took a shower and I turned like all the lights off and I just like got down, like basically like sitting down, like with my back to the shower and the water just coming over my head. And I just started like really seeking like the Holy Spirit of like, hey, if this is really what you want me to do, like, how do I do this? Like, what clarity do I get? And I felt like I really got a calmness, and then I started being able to hear God's voice, knowing if it was the Holy Spirit. And then that gave me enough faith to take the next action. And then the next day, right back in there again. And it's just like just taking action and then having faith, connecting with God, and then going on walks and listening to his voice. And that right there, I think, changed like the rest of my life. Because until then, I think we do kind of pray, but that was like, I had like a routine that I could go to, you know, where I was like, hey, if I turn the lights off, no one else can bother me. I can't see anything. There's no distractions. There's no anything in here. Like, it's just, and even the water like drowns out the sound of everything else. So all I could really do was hear God's voice. And then just in general, like lights off with that rain sound and water on you is already like very calming. So I would just, this is the action I need to take today. Take it. This is the shower. This is what I need to do. Write in my journal what happened. And then the next day, do the same thing. And then I just kept doing that and doing that and doing that and doing that. And I was like, man, I think a lot of people know the religious side of like, I know how to say these big fancy prayers and all this type of stuff. But it's like, do you know how to really connect with God? Do you know how to actually have a conversation like you would with another person? And can you hear what he's telling you to do? And I started being able to connect like really quickly and be like, oh, this is what I need to do. This is what I shouldn't do. These are the things I need to happen. And then it's like, man, God, okay, you're saying like, you want me to do this. I need some money, but I don't have money. And then by the time I'm out of the shower and I check my phone, someone randomly cash apps me or something like that. Right. So it's like, that was really building up my faith in a way that I had never, I think a lot of people, they're believers, but they haven't tested it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I do believe in it, but have you actually tested it to know if you actually believe when it comes to it? So that was like the first time I had to be like, I'm working as hard as I can. And if I don't, if like that's is all I can do, I'm not going to be able to achieve this. I have to really have faith that I'm not really going to get evicted, that I'm actually going to get the ring. Her passport's going to get here on time. Like there are so many factors that taught me like how to really connect with God.
Hello, Peaches. I am going to drop in just for a short second, I promise, and then you can get back to the episode. I know it's just so ooey gooey and juicy. I also had to share something special with you. So I have my organization business called Harmony Home Organization, and just like a short snippet of me bringing harmony into the homes and hearts of families. I birthed this business in the beginning of this year, but I've actually been doing this for years in my cleaning business and then in my life transformation coaching. And what I did was I combined the two, because when I went in and cleaned houses, I would also organize the homes. I didn't realize that that's not really what cleaners usually do. And so I began to get a lot of feedback from my clients, making comments about how I organize their home, how I make their life easier. It wasn't the little bits and pieces that I was doing. I didn't do a full-on organization. And then one of my clients got relocated through corporate, and I helped her move. And she also went through a divorce, and I helped her move. And as we were talking with lots of Starbucks and lots of road travel and lots of just juicy, ooey conversations, and she was one of my first mentors that I ever had in my life. Bless her sweet soul, for she believed in me before I ever could believe in myself. And I borrowed her belief in me until I had enough of a belief in myself to do something bigger with my life, because I had such a big desire and such a big hunger to go do something bigger. And she used to joke and say, if you don't make this into a business, I'm going to make this into a business for you. And something that was also a common thread in my cleaning business and with her and obviously with life transformation, but I'm talking about cleaning business right now, was my clients used to be like, oh my gosh, I feel like I had a therapy session with you along with cleaning my house. And it was almost like it was a 50-50 of if they preferred for me to clean their house and give them a therapy session, which win-win for them, they got both. And then when I did life transformation coaching, I realized that as I'm creating transformation in the homes, it goes hand in hand. Like I've always said, organization has psychology goes with it, but it goes much deeper with that. And so what I love, and I'm so passionate that I travel across the world, and my heart is truly with women who have gone through divorce or corporates that are being relocated, because there's so much depth that goes into the transformation and the transition when you move. There's so much stress. There's so much headache. There's so much chaos that can happen. And I'm the fairy that comes in and brings the magic to your place and space. And I organize your stuff. I unpack it so you can focus on what your passion and your purpose is. And I bring your vision to a reality. I ask, what is it that you want, need, and desire? Because we all have different core values. We all have different things that we need in our life. And so often it's put in a cookie cutter. But with my business, I really get to the heart and the core of what is it that you need. And I'm going to give you a little bit of an example so you can gain a deeper understanding. Because if you might be listening, you might be like, yeah, well, Leona, I need a lot of things. What are you talking about? So if your heart is really to be in the kitchen, some women it's not and some it is. And they're like, I really desire to cook meals and I really desire to have my family be healthy. And it's really for me to spend time with my family at the kitchen table. If I know that's your passion, if I know that's really what your heart is desiring, I will design your kitchen to be organized in a way that there is flow and peace and where you can come into your creativity. You can be present and then you can be in your passion and purpose and you can have those meals with your family where you're not feeling chaotic and you're not feeling disrumpled and you're not feeling like you're all over the place. Okay. I create structure, which I bring the sexy into structure, and we create a plan that is fitted right around your lifestyle, when you're moving, what it is that you're going through. And so this transition that you have creates a transformation internally and externally, because Organization is so much more than just the physical. It goes to the heart center. And that's what it makes my business so unique and makes it stand out, because I have different packages. So I said I have the package for corporate relocations. And then I have the package, like if you've gone through divorce, if you're going through something huge in your life and you're like, Leona, I need you to come in. I personally have gone through a divorce, and that's kind of what made this skyrocket and had a domino effect. And then I've helped other clients of mine. Because having that extra emotional support and having somebody to walk you through letting go of things so you can have more room and create the life that you desire, because you're starting all over. It's a fresh start. Then I also have packages that if you're like, I just need you to come in and organize my home, I have day packages as well, where it's just by the day. And so whatever your need is, whatever is fit. And I'm also creating virtual packages. If it's like, Leona, this is great, but I'm not ready to invest that big in myself, I just need somebody to walk and talk me through this, I am creating a virtual package that I will organize your home from across the world. And I will give you the structure. I will give you the plan. I will give it to you all from here. You just won't physically have me doing it. And then you're the one that puts it in place and creates the razzle bedazzle magic in your life, so you can be in your passion and your purpose. If you're like, I need you, I want you, I want you to be a part of my life, find me on Instagram at @Schrock_Leona. I have a website. By the time this is out, and this like my promo here for you, and there's also going to be a discount for my first customers. I already am booked into June, so just to let you know, you're going to want to hop in and get on the train. My website will be up and running. And there's so much goodness there, because not only do I give you where we walk you through the things, I also have an email list where there's going to be soul organization and there's going to be home organization, hand in hand, sweet pea, because it is all one beautiful circle. And we are getting you on the journey of you creating the most beautiful, abundant, prosperous, joyful life that you desire, and bringing your dreams to a reality.
I think that's so powerful how you said about like sitting in the shower, because you can't distract yourself either. It's not like you can be like, oh, yeah, well, I got to go do this. You know, that's going to be so impactful for somebody to listen and hear that, because sometimes we just need to be, well, not sometimes, like every day we need that quiet time. And when we learn to have, like you said, have the conversation, have the relationship, it's something that I like found that And I think that came from like problem solving so quickly, because as a young child, I had to solve problems really quickly and grow up. So I always forgot to ask God. Like I would just do. And I had to learn how to be like, oh, well, wait a second. Okay, God, like what do you want? And what does this look like? You know, and then have the faith, like you said. And I know in my journey too, I've had crazy, I always joke and say I've moved money like chess pieces. Like, it's like, okay, I'm moving it over here. And then, you know, and it's like, okay, God, you got to come through, because I felt that you wanted me to do this. And God does every time comes through. And that's where our faith is just, it explodes. And it's when you know, like when you're on that journey with your vision, you also just know. Like something that I find with a lot of people, and I would love to hear your intake, is there's this whole, which I feel like you answered it big time, but I think some of it is also an identity issue, is they're like, well, I don't know if this is what God is telling me to do. Like, do you find that a lot in your group, or they don't even have clarity of the big dream that God has for them? Like, well, I think maybe, or I'm not, or I don't even know. And I'm like, well, that's an identity issue, but I would love to hear your thoughts on what you, because I'm sure you have that when people come to your room.
So have you ever seen the movie Inception?
I have not.
You have to watch this movie. Okay. Promise me.
I will.
One of my favorite movies. Basically, it's like it has Leonardo DiCaprio in it, and their job is that they're like dream architects. So they build dreams, kind of like think of like a computer program, and then they hook people up into it, and then they can go into a dream. And then they can go into a dream within that dream. So it's like a very complex movie. But the crazy thing is, like, when you're in those dreams, it's hard, like a real dream, it's hard for you to know if you're really dreaming or not. And there's been times where people just get stuck living a dream, and then they come out of it and they don't know how to handle it, because they thought the dream that they were in for so long was actually reality. And now they don't know what is reality. So they're trying to kill themselves to get out of that dream to go to reality, but they're already in reality. So like it really messes with their brain. So they have these little, I forget what they're called, but basically you have something that you can hold. You know how it feels. You know how it moves like in reality. That way only you know, no one else knows. So then if you do it in the dream and it doesn't react how it would in reality, you know that, hey, this is still a dream. So it keeps you safe. I think we need that when it comes to connecting with the Holy Spirit. So we need a way to be like, is this God really listening to me? Like, what sign, what feeling do you get? Like, how do you know if this is God speaking to you? And then when you're in those times of doubt, you need to get into that mode and be like, hey, God, really, you know, slow me down or give me a feeling or whatever it is to know that it's you. And the part that you need to do before that is make sure you're not just chasing the dreams that you want to do. So you're not just like, I want to get a Lamborghini. I'm going to have faith. How come the Holy Spirit isn't talking to me? It's like, because that's not what God wants you to do. But if God is like, hey, deliver these people from Egypt into the promised land, and you're feeling doubtful, whenever Moses was like, hey, I need a sign, show up, God was doing that because it was something he wanted him to do. Mm-hmm. So I think if we're trying to do something God has us to do, is calling us to do, then we need to be able to have a way to connect with God and the Holy Spirit whenever we're doing that. So I think it's just like being able to connect in those moments. And then from there, yeah, it's just like having the faith to like act on it. But I think a lot of the times when they do know that that is what it is, like they're still not taking the action. But I think mm-hmm. that's the big, like, you got to be able to tap into like, is God speaking to me? How do I know? Type of thing. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's like a lot of how you said also taking that action, because you can sit on it, you can marinate, you can pray. And I've kind of like this last year, I've really, if you know me, the term when people say I got to pray about, I'm going to whoop your ass, because a lot of times you don't need to pray about
it. Man, I hear you. We used to get that from pastors all the time. And I used to say, okay, let's pray about it then. And then people get all surprised and they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, you said you want to pray about it. So let's pray about it. You're going to know if you pray, like the way you say you pray, you're going to know.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but I don't make, you know, decisions on the spot. I'm like, that's making a decision on the spot. You
just made a decision. Snap.
There's no way to not make a decision. You're making a decision either way. So I'm like, if you have to pray, that's fine. I'm not against that, but don't use that as a big excuse to not take action. And then you actually pray about it weeks later, days later. And I was like, and the other thing that irritates me is like, you're going to pray about it and then you're going to do what you want to do. You're not going to pray about it and then do what God tells you to do because it's uncomfortable. You're going to say you're going to pray about it, but ultimately you're just going to do whatever you want to do anyways.
Yes. Yes. Amen to that. And it's also when we say we're going to, well, and this is what I found in my journey, is when I say that I'm going to pray about something, I start praying. God gives me actions today. Like, might not be the final answer, but like, I have things that need to be done within this 24 hours. So it's, I ain't ever waiting on God. God is waiting on me, is what I found in my journey. Like, it's not like God's like, well, I'll give you an answer like 3 months from now. No, there's things that can be done in today. So you have dealt with like a lot of preachers and pastors. And so what was, I would love to hear your thoughts as a man, because it sounds like you were alone a lot. Like, how has this been for you to have mentors and surround yourself with other men? Because I hear this a lot from men. They feel alone. They feel like they don't have leaders around them that they really feel like they can talk to or connect with to step into their dream or their vision or what they're doing. A lot of what I'm hearing is loneliness of what is going on.
Yeah, I think like the loneliness sometimes comes from me from not having other people that are doing the similar thing. But when it comes to like male role models, I haven't really felt like that, because I felt like God has been leading me the way. I'm like, hey, I don't need you guys to lead me. I need people to do it with me. But I'm listening to God's voice. And I had people that I was watching online. So I couldn't really talk to them all the time. But I'm like, okay, I'm watching their content. I'm buying their courses. But it would be really cool to have other people to support me along the way, right? I don't need you to basically be like, hey, I've done it here. Here's the thing. But it's like, let's do it together. So when I'm coming to you and saying, hey, I'm following the leaders, but it's hard, you're not going to tell me, oh, hey, let's just go back to Egypt, or hey, let's just forget this online business thing. So I think I've just been fortunate in, like, you know, when I was a kid, and then when I wanted to go to Paris, I was like, God has been leading me. You know what I mean? Like, he's been taking care of me and providing. So I don't really feel the loneliness in that aspect, because I learned how to connect. So I'm like, I'm connecting and having conversations all the time. It's not really a lonely thing. It just feels like, sometimes it does feel like you don't have other people that get you and understand you from that point. But from like a leadership role, I don't think I really felt like that in that sense. I always felt like it's God and me together. He is leading me, and then I'm being strong in my own mind. And that's like, that's a powerful leadership. Like, you know, that's a powerful combination.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you like gave the holy cocktail of it all, because you were saying being strong in your own mind and like God. And I think that's where sometimes the disconnect happens. And this isn't even just men. This is us humans in general, of like, having the ability to trust God and then trust within ourselves that, you know, we can move forward. We are in connection with God. We are not alone, and that we don't always need, especially when our journey looks different, you know, like than everybody else's. There has to be that faith that what God is telling you and that what God has placed inside of you, it's going to work, and you can step out and you can do the things regardless of what's like around you. And so in the group, so if somebody comes in and they're like, okay, I kind of have a vision, not really. I know like I'm supposed to do something. I want to do something bigger with my life. What do you kind of walk us through, like what that looks like? Because I'm sure there's people that are going to be listening to this. They're like, yeah, I feel this. Like I feel like I have that, but I don't know what, because we like to know sometimes what that's going to look like before we reach out.
To be honest, the ideal person that I like working with, like, they know what they want to do. They just need help really like getting to it, no matter what. So it's not someone that's like, I'm sitting down with them and it's like, man, I'm really working at McDonald's. And it's like, well, you could do more with your life. And it's like, well, yeah, I don't know what I want to do. It's more like me. It's like, I want to go to Paris, but right now I don't have a ring. I don't have money. And everyone's telling me, like, what do I do? Now, the first thing that I do, though, is I help people gain clarity on what it is. Because I feel like the thing that irritates me sometimes with Christians is like, they want to over-spiritualize everything. And I'm like, I understand that everyone wants to spread the word and reach more people, but like, that's what we're all doing. It's kind of like, I want to start a business. And it's like, why? It's like, I just want to help people and make money. It's like, duh, that's like what we're supposed to do. Like, it's okay to say like, you have a dream and this is what you want to do. Everybody doesn't have to just say, I'm just trying to spread the word of God. And it's like,
I love this. Great.
It's annoying so much. So I'm like, I get what you're saying, but I feel like everyone in the Bible still had kind of their dream or their vision or their unique goal, you know? So a framework that I use that everyone could use is like, your big crazy dream is like what you really want to do, like something that's specific that you want to do. So not make more money, because it's like, I can give you a dollar and you make more money. Like, do you want to make $10,000 a month? Do you want to make $5 a month? Do you not travel? Do you want to go overseas? Do you want to go to the next country? Do you want to go to the next city? Like, what is it specifically that you want to do? And then by what date? Because if you don't put a date on it, okay, are we doing this when you're 80, 100? And then, so you have the dream, you have the date, and then you have the even though. The even though is what makes it crazy or big and what involves God. Because if you just say, man, my big crazy dream is to go get a cup of coffee after this podcast, it's like, yeah, you're just going to go outside and go get it. Like, it's not that hard to do.
You really call them out. I love this.
Yeah. So the even though is like your current situation. So let's say like my dream is to propose in Paris within 70 days, even though I don't have a ring, I don't have money, blah, blah, blah. So this is where God is going to show up. And then it's like praying and making sure that dream aligns with what God's calling you to do. Because if I'm like, hey, I want to buy a Lamborghini by the end of this year, even though I don't have any money and I've never driven a, you know, sports car or whatever like that. And God is saying, hey, you need to go help these women in India because they blah, 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 whatever. And that's what you're supposed to be doing. It's not going to work. And I think with the online coaching space, everyone is like, just manifest, achieve your dreams in 50 days. And it's like, if that's not what God's calling you to do, that's not really going to, I don't feel like it's going to work, or there's always going to be a lot of friction.
Yeah.
So it's like the specific thing that you want to do, when's the date you want to achieve it, and then what is the current situation? If you don't have this even though, then I challenge people to dream a little bit bigger. It's like you could achieve this thing, but what is like that you could do that it's like it's going to require God to do it, not just So you can say, why not make $1 billion instead of 10,000? But it's because the even though is where I think we're able to give God the glory. Because I can tell the story and say, hey, I didn't just have money to go to Paris and I just booked a plane ticket and went over there. That makes the story different. Because some other people could say, yeah, everyone proposed in Paris. But if I say, yeah, I had no money, I had $10,000 of debt, she didn't have a ring, she didn't have a passport, I didn't have blah, 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 blah. Then people are like, how did that happen? And it allows you to tell your testimony of how God showed up. So those are like the three things I tell them. And then from there, we start working the rest.
Yeah, you literally like tear the veil and everyone is what I would see happening because, you know, we can hide. We tend to hide. Like we have, like you said, one, we have a shit ton of excuses, but over-spiritualize. And something that I learned like in the Christian communities, I'm like, y'all should justify yourself. That makes it sound so great that nobody can have an argument with you. Yeah. However, like you, the way that you do it, you eliminate that because, you know, like if you've heard them all, I'm sure you have it, the over-spiritual little things that come out and it's like, oh, well, who's going to argue? But then some of us come along and we're like, actually, that is not what is going on. You're using that to hide behind.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where when you were explaining of everything that happens, I'm like, wow, you really remove all of that and have them step into action, moving forward, taking action. And also for them to experience God, for them to experience it so much bigger than themselves. And I always, like, I shouldn't say always, but I've been saying this thing that when you're, you know, you're in your purpose and your passion, your dream is making other people's dreams become a reality, whatever that looks like. You know, like for example, I have an organization business. I take their dream that they have of what they want their home to look like and make it a reality. And it doesn't sound like all Christian-y for me to be like, yeah, I have an organization business, but I know like it's what God has called me to do because it's going in and creating peace and harmony in the family's homes. You know, and that's why I like how you brought that out, because I think that kind of causes a war in people's mind of like, well, I don't know, like if this isn't a ministry or this isn't like in church. We could go on a rant forever with this one, because you can work at a gas station and have a ministry, whatever that is, you know, whatever God's placing on your heart. But so what is a message that you would really like for everybody to like? What is something that you want to leave them with and you really want them to have this on their heart?
That is a great question. That's a good question. So we have these feelings as believers. And I think once you realize that the feelings don't really matter, it opens up your life to do so many other things. So for example, people are like, God's calling me to do this, but I'm scared or I don't have confidence. And I'm like, you know, the good thing about doing stuff is you don't need confidence to do it. Like you just need to do it. Like it doesn't take confidence to speak to people. It doesn't take confidence to send an email. It doesn't take confidence to come on a podcast. Like all you're doing, you're just pushing a button. Like it's not confidence. Now, are you going to suck? Are you going to be scared? Yes. But it's through doing that you get the confidence, that you get the courage, that you get the skill. So if you're always waiting, you're listening to this podcast, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. But like, I'm too scared to do this and I'm too scared to do that. It's like, if you keep waiting, you don't build the confidence. Like, that's not how it works. You take action now and you just accept the fact that it's not going to be good. Like, if this was my first podcast, I can't say, well, I don't want to come on there because people aren't going to like the way I sound, like the way I look. It doesn't matter. It's like, that's your first one. So obviously it's not going to be that good. Like I posted in a group the other day, I was like, you can't learn how to play the piano if you're worried about like pressing the wrong note, right? You never learn how to play it. If you're like, man, what if I press the wrong thing? And it's like, that's how you actually learn. You mess up so many times that you learn how to do it. So I think a lot of people think myself and other people that they look up to were just like never scared and we're just like fearless. And it's like, that's not how it is. Like a lot of people are still scared. They're still frightened. They're still worried, but they're doing it anyways. And I think that's where the faith comes in. It's like, you don't need to be sure. You don't need to be confident. You just need to trust that if this is what God's calling you to do, that it's going to work out. That's it. So I always, whenever I'm on a podcast, I'm always like, if you're listen to the whole episode and you're at this part, like I can just imagine people, right? Like they're in their car or wherever they're at and they're like nodding their head. Don't be that person that nods their head the episode ends and you go back to your regular life. Like, you could have done anything. Like, why did you just waste a whole hour just to nod your head and go back doing what you're doing?
Oh, snap. You just called somebody out listening right now.
Because like that used to be me and I used to do that. And it's like, you're wasting so much time. Like, why are you listening? Why do you keep listening to stuff? Like, you're waiting for that one episode to give you that boost of confidence. That I need to learn one more thing. It's like, you don't need to learn one more thing. You need to do something finally. And so it's like, I always tell people, you can always do something right now. And they're like, but I don't have money. Okay. If your goal right now is to, you heard this episode and like, man, I really wish I could be a digital nomad, but I don't have money. So I can't do anything right now. Yeah, you can. You can go on YouTube. You can type in travel vlogs for whatever country you want to go to. And you can subscribe to those people and you can watch those videos and get motivated. You can buy a map and hang it up on your wall. You can change the wallpaper of your phone. So it's like, do something. Like, you listen to the episode, go do one thing, you know? I hate when people are listening to stuff and it's just like, you're just nodding your head like we do at church. And then you go back to work on Monday and it's the same thing. And then you come back on Sunday and you're crying, you're emotional. My life is going to change. And then you go out to lunch and you forget everything that they just talked about. And then when you get into traffic, there goes everything. Your faith is out the window. So it's like, if you listen to things and you take action and you have faith, and then you go listen to something else and then you take action and you have faith, you might not achieve your dream that day or that week or that month or that year, but it adds up over time. I was watching, it was interesting. I went to this coffee shop here in Albania today, and then I was there for like an hour and a half. And then my wife came and I was laughing when she got there a little bit because I had my headphones on. And then after like 30 minutes, I went over and like, I was talking to her because I was like really in. She's like, what was it? What were you doing? And I was like, I went back on my stories in 2019 and I watched the archive on Instagram every single day until 2020 over the summer. It's like a year and a half. I watched like my story every day. I'm making a promo video, so I'm looking for some clips. But I was like, it's very interesting to see how that stuff adds up. Like, you're just thinking, I'm just reading a book and then I'm taking action. But this book is just about one little thing. And then you're watching a podcast, you're going to this event. But because you're one of the few action takers, like, you look back and I'm like, man, I remember 2016, I used to put on a suit and tie and I would go to the mall every day for like a month or two trying to get a job at like Louis Vuitton or Versace or Burberry. And I was like, man, I would love to get a job at one of these places and be like a creative designer or something. And then getting a job at one of the, like, at Tommy Bahama and seeing these rich people come in and be like, man, I would love to be able to travel, but I don't know how to do that. And then getting off work and driving Uber and then driving around people that are traveling and then watching travel vlogs. And I'm like, and then I was walking today and I'm like, yo, we've really been traveling for like 4 years. I remember when I was just in Indiana and Kokomo, Indiana, just walking around, and I would have never thought that, but it was just like every day taking action, having faith, taking action, having faith. So it's really cool because I think there's people that call people out and it's like they feel disrespected. But a lot of the people know that if I'm calling you out, it's because I want you to do more. I'm not just trying to shame you or be, it's like, it would be a shame for you to listen to this, waste an hour of your life, and then go back to doing the same thing. When I know for a fact that if you take action, your whole life could change in 5 years or even 6 months, you'll be so thankful. And you're going to be scared. You're going to be worried. Like, all that stuff is normal, but it's just do something. And then you're going to realize, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought. That's always the case. So Every time I'm telling people just do something, it's like skydiving. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. But then everyone, when they've done it, they're like, that was such an amazing experience, right? So I'm like, you just have to go do something. So I don't know what that looks like. It's probably different for each person. But it's like, now that you've listened to this, and I always think like, maybe this episode only has one listener, right? But that one person, if you're listening to this, like, go do something. Don't just listen to this. Make it worth your time. You just spend an hour of your life. Make that worth something.
I love that you ended it this way because it's such packed with a punch. I know, like, I feel like you just kind of delivered a can of whoop ass, which is what I like to do. And I love how you saying of like, we're not trying to shame you, because I've kind of been on this the last while. I don't know if you find this, but like, my filter is less and less. And I'm like, I don't know how to say this to you nicely. I'm very passionate about it. It comes from a place of love, and I can't dance around what just needs to be said. And I've been known to give tough love. And it's, I'm like, because I see the potential that's sitting on the inside of you. Like, there's so much more than, and stop it. Like, step into your purpose and live the life that God has called you to live. Be who he's called you to be and live the, he's giving you that dream for a reason. And I'm like, we can't, well, we can, but like, I can, we don't have time to sit here and patty cake the situation all day long. Like you said, exactly. Do something. Just do it. Right. Because your life does transform and it does change. And I love how you looked over time and you saw that. Because even when I was thinking about this the other day when I first started my podcast, because I've had so many people ask me, what makes you start a podcast? And I was like, I really don't know, other than the fact that I don't know what made me think I was qualified to do it. I was just like, I want to give back because that's what had me start taking action. And then I just was like, oh, and now like it's a year later and I'm like, wow, like my life has expanded and grown so much. Like all the growth that has happened just today, having, you know, meeting you here and all the different, and it's like, it's not that hard. You just need to start taking action. So I love that you called it out on the end. Cause you know what, like when you're listening to a podcast and towards the end, you're like, yeah, yeah, but you kind of like really, you whooped them. You're like, go get it and go do something. And so with that also being said, well, first of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for everything that you've shared. And I'll share the links in the show notes, but where can they find you? Because there's definitely people that need you in their life.
Get on a flight, come to Albania. If you basically, Instagram's probably the best way because I will reply to your message. So if you just type in my name, which is D-D-E-E, and then Green is my last name with the color with the E at the end. So D-E-E and then G-R-E-E-N-E. And then if you just type my name in pretty much any social media platform other than like LinkedIn, I'm pretty much going to pop up.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'm going to attach those to the show notes and thank you so much. And is there anything else that you wanted to say to end this?
Yeah, I think one thing I will say is I think people underestimate how much people want to help. So like they'll listen to this and then it's like, man, I really wish I could get their help. Maybe you do want to take action, but you just have a question and you're like, those people are never going to answer me. It's like a lot of people are willing to help you. So it's like, if you have questions for me, reach out or you would answer their questions too. And so I think don't be reach out to us, but also if you're listening to this, obviously you're trying to do something, right? So that's like a step in the right direction. You're listening to content that's helping you, but surround yourself with people that are going to motivate you to do more of that. Because if you go tell your parents or your family or your friends, hey, I just listened to this podcast, I'm going to go achieve my dreams, they're not going to be on your side. They're going to be like, yeah, but, and they're going to give you all these reasons why I can't do it. So you got to start reaching out to people that understand what it's like. So don't feel like you're alone and like, okay, I listened to this, now I got to go keep taking action by myself. Like there might be a few select group of people that understand you, but just find those people and reach out to them. And I was telling someone, I did a post about this on TikTok that did like pretty good. I was like, we base a lot of our action on fear and not data. So people don't post on social media because they're like, well, what if people make fun of me? But I'm like, but they haven't yet though. Like, so why don't you just post? If they make fun of you, don't post anymore. But you're just making up a negative scenario. So why don't you, if you're going to make up something positive. So instead of saying, if I reach out to D, he's going to think I'm stupid. Why wouldn't you say, if I reach out to him, he's going to give me the response that I need to help me go succeed? Because you're making it up anyways. And then if I do tell you that you're an idiot or something, then you can base your decision based on that actual data that actually happened. So I think if we just make up positive scenarios and then based on the data. So it's like, just reach out to us, reach out to other people, take action, but then surround yourself with people. I think a lot of the times people listen to content and you would be surprised how often people will actually reply and help you out if you reach out to them.
Yeah. And I'm so glad. Thank you for bringing that point out, because I know that was something that was a big barrier for me in the beginning. I was like, oh, well, they're going to think I'm stupid, or, oh, they have all these different things. And I have learned like, real heart-centered people, like they want to help. We all want to help one another. And that's where I'm like, I'll be the one that kicks your ass the most, but I'll also be the one that supports and cheers you on the most. Like if you have quite, because we all, the world is just better if we're doing it together. So yeah, thank you for sharing that and bringing that point out, because kind of like tore that final fear factor off. So now they really have no excuses.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for tuning in to
Unchained and Untamed. I'm confident that you received exactly what you require to unleash your potential and unapologetically own your feminine heart and soul and be the woman that God has created you to be. It's time to take the next step on your transformational journey. Apply what you've learned and know that I am here to support you every step of the way. I'd love to hear what your biggest shifts and ahas were that you received from this podcast. So make sure to shoot me a message and follow me on Instagram at Schrock_Leona. See you there.